Good morning, everyone, and welcome to another Saturday Coffee Tea with me. Today, with very special guests, Robert Scott Bell and our very own Peter. There are a few announcements that I want to make. Is that you, Dale?
Yes, Mel. Hello, everyone. Hello, Mel.
Morning. Okay. A few announcements I want to make, so I'm going to go by going into the forum. Okay. And the first thing I noticed sticking out, because I capitalized the whole thing, is updated testimonials. Okay, well, can you imagine, you know, you guys, if you wake me up from a nap, it's like waking up a grizzly bear in his cave in the middle of winter. So, I've been beating the whip and holding the chair on Peter the Great to get these testimonials that were 3 years lagging behind updated. Well, he's done such a great job in 2 months that he's caught us up a little over the 2 years. And right now, I think we're about 5 months or 4 months behind before we're complete. But I had an epiphany one night when I was sleeping that wouldn't it be great if we could get the pictures from the original threads into the testimonials, because I often feel that a picture is worth 1,000 words, and I try to put pictures that kind of match the themes of the post. Well, lo and behold, I was told that this project, which has been going on for about the same amount of time now, 2 or 3 months, that people have been working on it, we finally come up with a way to bring forth the pictures. So like I said, we're only a few months behind now, and these last 2.25 years, or 2.5 years that have been brought forward, as well as all the posts from the beginning, those who had pictures now have pictures in the testimonials as well. So if you get depressed, if you get this and you get that, and you just think, oh, this is taking forever, hey, get into the testimonials. Everybody felt that way, but those who did not give up hope, those people all got well, and you can read about it and see pictures that go along with it. All right, so that's number one. Number two, there are a couple of new posts in the forum. Okay, we have 3 more people now getting well. We have Maria, we have Margaret. No, wait a minute, let me get this right. We have Maria, we have Michelle, but not the Michelle in Hong Kong, a brand new Michelle that you guys don't know, but I know because she's very quiet, but she's been here for a couple of years, and she's now said that she's done, so we're going to line her up in the next couple of months to do her happy dance call. And who was the other one? There was another one. All 2 different people on 2 consecutive days. So you want to read, oh, Nancy made a great post, by the way, called Listen to Your Body. Boy, I've been an advocate of that since many years after I was run over and left for a cripple. Got to know my body because of that experience. Got to listen to my body. Very, very important that you try to master this particular scenario, because if you do, it will really help you in your restoration. Okay, so look, I can't find the third post, but I'm telling you, everything that's been posted for the last couple of days is so positive, it's really, it's delightful for me. And Peter, I can't thank you enough. The testimonials never look better. And I'm betting a dime on the dollar that our special guest has arrived. Let's go take a peek. Oh, boy. There he is. Whoops. There he is. But let me first get, let's see. Good morning, Robert.
Hey, good morning, Mel.
And 678. Oh, boy. Who's that, please? Six, seven, eight. Come in.
Yes.
It's who?
Cash.
Okay. Oh, okay, Cash. Hi. Welcome. All right, I thought you were somewhere else. You might have been, and we got somebody else. All right, well, today's call was kind of outlined, and Peter and Robert Scott Bell were going to do part one, and something came up, and Peter handled it beautifully, but they, I know Peter himself has been dying and waiting to do a call with RSV. So I outlined the topics that I thought would be most important in you preserving the health when you restore it. So I outlined it as microwave ovens, cell phones, towers, 5G, the newest variant of COVID, which I experienced and am absolutely positively delighted to say that at my ripe old age, I beat that in under 2 full weeks. 2 full weeks with the help of all these people, Robert, Dr. Edward, Johnny, Peter. I mean, Peter had me take some concoction I never heard of. And when people ask me, well, what was it? I said, you got to ask Peter. I don't know. It was water. It was one pill. It was salt. It was lemon. I mean, I can't remember. But he does. And he'll bring it forth today when we get to that point in time. And then I think it was, why don't you want to take the new flu shot? And I even have my thoughts on that one. But without further ado, let me introduce to you, in my opinion, the most knowledgeable young holistic practitioner on earth. Welcome, RSB.
Hey, it's good to be back with you, Mel, and the team here, and we're excited to hear. I just step outside and listen to Peter today. So, but yeah, if you want me to contribute, I'm happy to do it in any way.
Well, why don't we talk, sir? What's your thoughts on microwave ovens?
Well, if anybody still has them and they're using them for anything more than just storing things unplugged, then you haven't been paying attention. So, you know, the idea of eating something from within by these microwaves, altering and denaturing the proteins, it's just something that is destructive of the integrity of whatever you put in there. Hopefully it'd be good, but you know, the story I remember growing up when I started learning about microwave ovens, that they were so bad they were even banned in the Soviet Union. They were like, you can't use this. And yet Americans still by and large have them in every home automatically, and perhaps use them to heat, maybe it's just old coffee or old pizza or water, and boil it and alter it in a very negative way. So I don't know why this is still persisted to use this technology with anything to do that we're going to put in and around our bodies. And I don't know, you guys may have talked about these things before, but our we replaced our microwave oven with a convection oven, you know, that fit in the same place. So we have a backup if we're like doing a big Thanksgiving thing or something, we'd have an extra thing to cook, but real more conventional heating versus the idea of microwaving. So these are weapons. These are not devices that are good for anybody's health. I don't know if there's much more you need to hear from me on that or if Peter wants to add to that, but obviously not a big fan.
Okay, well, Pete, you got anything to add?
Yeah, but first of all, hey, Robert, good to be in your presence this morning, brother. How are you?
Yeah, doing well. You know, pretty fit after doing, 58 to 60 burpees. I did 60 the other day just to be sure I had two extra in case I miscounted. But I got through it, no problem. I had my first grappling class or jiu-jitsu, you know. So the idea is to age and do things you couldn't do when you were young and sick like me. So I'm pretty pleased with how the progress has been going and continues to go.
Amen, brother. Well, I saw you recently on a seminar, a web series. I can't recall who you were with. It's always an honor to be in your presence, but you and I did a show for Mel a number of years back. We don't talk much, or not in a real relationship, but I just wanted to let you know that I've been a big fan of yours for a number of years, my friend, and I'm so honored to be here with you this morning.
Well, I appreciate that, Peter. I really do. And I just kind of put my head down and keep going. 2 hours a day on the air, which has been going on. That was my 25th year doing that, and Sundays we have these Sunday conversations I've done. I'm doing another really cool one with my friend Tracy Strout. She's a naturopath, and we cover a lot of basic concepts in healing and also the spiritual aspect of healing, which is often overlooked by many, of course, in the medical community, but sometimes even in the more holistic community, they miss that as a, you know, an essential element to our recovery, much less our reason for being here. I had another interesting kind of a mini webinar I did, like a little, it was under an hour. I interviewed Josh Hewlett, who's the sons of John Hewlett, who developed the Cardio Miracle product. And I didn't know a lot of his backstory, but in 2009, he was diagnosed with MS. He had like 27 lesions found on his brain through scans. And simply by going back to eating clean foods, whole foods, juicing, things like that, and getting the nitric oxide up, he was able to overcome all of that. He's lost, I don't know, 180 pounds since then. But I didn't know that backstory of overcoming MS. I always knew it was reversible. I'd help people to do it. But that story was profound because it shows that the medical community, whether they mean well or not, they're lying to you when they tell you you can't cure fill in the blank, including neurological degeneration diseases, MS, like MS. So that was a real inspiring hour. If you guys aren't already plugged into my newsletter, we'll send out a replay link for that too.
All right. Well, are there any questions about microwaves before we move on to cell phones? It's star 5 now, and if that doesn't work, scream, and you'll get my attention. Any questions about microwaves? Once, twice, gone. All right, Robert, cell phones.
Well, cell phone technology, of course, is advanced in terms of the original bricks. If you're old enough to remember, people had bricks in their car, basically. If they carried around, they had a big shoulder holster with a giant battery on it and everything. I had, one of my dear friends, Alden Butcher and his wife, Ann, they were on my show within the last few weeks. Over the years, I've interviewed them a number of times. They're like adopted parents to me. And he was diagnosed with a parotid tumor right around the parotid gland on the side where he was holding that phone for many, many years. It's obviously years later. It didn't happen overnight. And when they diagnosed him, it was stage 4, and they said he might have 2 months to live. His wife thankfully cut them off at the pass. The doctors, they said, do not say that in the presence of my husband. Do not let him hear that. And they immediately began to, make affirmations of a different kind of reality. Like, I'm healthier than I've ever been. And, you know, things like that kind of seem weird to say considering a stage 4 cancer diagnosis. And, you know, I consulted with them, got them on a lot of the organic whole food supplements, obviously the silver, the copper. They were doing cannabis, CBD, THC. And then I learned later that they were utilizing a technology came from...
I listen to this, Terry.
I learned later that they were using a technology they had connected with from a Dr. Luba from Russia who came to America that involves some of the things you guys may have talked about over the years in terms of right frequency, quantum energies and things like that. Now, why do I bring this up in context of cell phones? It's because the energy or wavelengths of these cell phone technologies is very damaging and harmful, but it doesn't mean that all technology or energy or wavelengths are equally harmful. In fact, there are those that have learned how to harness and develop these technologies for good, for healing, for neutralizing, for instance, pathogenic burdens, whether it be bacterial, fungal, viral, or even parasitic life forms, that we can use that energy, use some of the technological breakthroughs in like the cell phone communication industry, but again, utilizing it for good rather than destruction or ignoring the dangerous side of these things. And so 4 years later, he's on my show. This is, again, a few weeks back. I did 2 interviews within a week of Ann Archer Butcher, and he's completely cancer-free. So much so that, you know, the doctors didn't even understand what was happening because they went into the lymphatic, drainage canal and removed lymph nodes to detect, is there cancer here? Is there cancer here? Is there cancer here? They said, usually we'll find stray cancer cells because it's normal. Everybody has them and you're dealing with it. It's not a big deal, but they couldn't even find that in him. Not even that. And so it's a profound tool on the opposite side of looking at the negative side of can cellular ionizing radiation and non-ionizing radiation technologies to recognize that it's not all bad. So this Monocore device We picked it up recently too, and have been experimenting with it and seen some extraordinary things. I know that's not the nature of the question, but I always like to take something that's negative and find out, hey, there's a positive side, including, you know, artificial intelligence, which can be a learning kind of computer technology that could be done for evil or can be done for good as well. And but what we're saying here, if you're not getting the message when it comes to the cell phones, if you're using them, and most people have to, don't hold them up to your head. Use it on a speakerphone, or if you have a wired connection, that's better certainly than the wireless and the earpods or whatever they are that send those signals through your brain to minimize your exposure. And, of course, the vulnerability that any of us have is the vulnerability we have. This is why this group is, you know, kind of the canaries in the coal mine out of the bigger population. It doesn't mean that people that are seemingly walking through life just fine are not being impacted or affected, but they're not being impacted in such a visible way right now. And over time, that can degrade as their immune systems are challenged if they're ignorant of how to keep themselves strong. But in the midst of things we can't prevent fully, unless we moved out into the wilderness, and even there's some evidence of, you know, nothing's pure anymore, the best we can do is to strengthen our bodies by giving the bodies what it needs and removing from it that which it doesn't, minimizing our harmful exposure and counteracting those exposures with either technologies that can help do that or the right remedies, for instance, in homeopathy to counteract the negative energies to help rebalance our system on an ongoing basis, or utilizing, again, interesting technologies that are harmonious to the body's normal resonance, if you will, or resonant frequencies. There's an exciting time, you know, that we have. At the same time there's disasters occurring, there's equal and opposite and even greater opportunities for growth and healing. So, anyway, if you get the message, the cell phone technology, yes, very damaging and destructive, minimize your use and exposure, but it's not the end of the world if you have it and use it occasionally, that there are ways to protect yourself. Peter, do you have anything to add to that?
Well, you know, Robert, I'm reminded of a couple years back, you came to this community and did a show at which point you shared, if my memory serves me, there was only one particular study that you had found that was done in correlation, and correct me if I'm wrong, with Synergy Science. Yeah. Is that, you recollect that? And you said the science actually showed that the devices that Synergy Science was providing were actually putting an envelope, if I recall correctly, around us. That was a wonderful thing you brought to us. You were also offering a discount through your website on that product. I've never used one, but have you found anything else in regards to the devices that people can get to protect, you know, put in their home or carry on them? Because you brought a whole a body of information to us a couple of years back in that regard.
Yeah, sure. You know, I realize that that technology is still, as far as I can tell, legitimate. We still have it in the home. Unfortunately, the man behind it from Germany, if I can be frank, just turned out to be a real scumbag. Now, that doesn't take away from the fact that the science that was done was legitimate and that we still use it. I'm just less than enthusiastic about it simply because the man behind it, you know, that's not with Synergy Science at that time, was just from Germany who aligned and gave distribution through Synergy in America. But there is still that technology available, and I'm working on a long view to find and build a relationship with the actual manufacturer of that device that has offshoots of it so that I can, you know, find a way to work with these good technologies without having to deal with certain people that are just not so pleasant to deal with. So if you have or purchase those things, they are still legit and good. We still use them. It's just I'm less than enthusiastic about how they are brought out to the world through this guy.
Have you found any more tests? Well, I'm sorry.
Say that again?
I was just curious if you found any more tests. You had only found one at the time.
Yeah, validations in terms of actually either depolarizing the field or reducing measurably the impact on tissue, right? That, you know, and there, of course, everything that we do, whether it be homeopathic, herbal, supplemental, that reduces inflammation, right, and helps the body to detox the metabolites from ongoing inflammation, that's also going to help maybe in a different way, in a non-technological way, but there's still, you know, it's still valid and important to do all of those things. But to, again, counteract the bad technology with good technology is something I'm still enthusiastic about. It's just that I'd like to find other avenues to get out there that I could see and have them validated, or see that they are validated in some way where I could feel comfortable that it's beyond placebo even though, again, placebo is real and there's nothing wrong with it. So if you purchase a device that hopefully doesn't bankrupt you, and we don't have validation, but you feel good about wearing it, the simple act of feeling good about wearing it is a positive in terms of the energy you bring to counteract the energy you're being bombarded with. Does that make sense? I mean, it's not, again, a third-party independent validation. It's a placebo based on how you feel. That is not to be discounted either.
Right. Now,
Mel, do you remember, Mel, when he brought that information? You set that up a couple years back?
Right. Let me move on. Okay. You must learn to trust your instincts. I believe that your instincts are the truest thing that flows through your body. Not your heart, not your ego, not your brain, your instincts, your stomach, the gut. You learn to trust that. You learn to know your body. And boy, you got a lot of the healing not. And positivity, I don't know anybody who's more positive than I am. I haven't met them yet. But you've got to have that in order to get well, that's for sure. Robert, we just broke every attendance record ever, so I'm going to push this thing along quicker. All right, Lori had a hand up from before, but I think we moved on. Go ahead, Lori.
Hi, I'm back to the microwave. The danger of the microwave, even if you're not in the room, just like the waves go like all through your house, like, can you pick up like disease and sickness from that?
Well, there is a distance factor in terms of the fall off of the intensity. So obviously, if in use, you want to kind of move yourself further away from it. But it's true that there's some fallout around it, so to speak. The closer you are, the more intense it is. So that's why I say I don't like to be around them. I'll work my way, you know, to avoid them wherever possible. I'm not saying that the moment you're exposed to a microwave, you're going to, you know, end up in a hospital or dead. It doesn't tend to work that way. But these things are accumulative in terms of the impact and stressors that we interact with on a daily basis. Obviously, you know, part of my philosophy is reduce those stresses wherever possible. And wherever you can't, I don't want you to overly stress yourself by thinking, oh my gosh, I'm going to die. This is a disaster, much like Mel said. Maintain that positive attitude. Maintain that strength and that good feeling despite all that exists around you, which can be very difficult, especially if you're surrounded by a lot of people that are completely ignorant of this or overtly defending their use of these technologies that are actually destructive. For whatever reason, they have a religious view or a, you know, a cult-like devotion to these things. And, you know, that's kind of a negative environment to be in. You can only withstand that for so long. So it's okay to withdraw and say, you know what, we cannot hang out right now. And you can say it's not you, it's me, if you want, just to get out of it. But the idea is, remember, there are exposures we can't account for and control for. We don't want to add to the burden by panicking in the midst of, oh, my gosh, they turned it on. It's that positive mental attitude. It's that spiritual connection to recognize that you are protected because you're not going out in ignorance or arrogance or abusing, you know, the things that you know to say that I'm just going to do it because I don't, you know, I can pray it away. And then you just, like I said, there's a lot of irresponsibility associated with that where you know the stuff is not good and yet you continue to subject yourself to it, thinking that you're disciplined enough to, you know, energetically counteract it. It would take so much effort and energy and concentration and focus that you wouldn't be able to do much else. Unless, you know, if there's evidence to the contrary, I'm open to it, but I haven't seen the people that over time can just eat the GMO food, be exposed to all of this stuff, and then just say, oh, I just pray over it every time and I'm fine. Long term, you know, in the short term, there is a potential there, but the discipline it would take to withstand that over time would mean that you wouldn't have much time to focus on anything else.
All right. I think that answers the question, Lori. Let me welcome 575. Good morning and welcome. Your first name? Area code 575.
Oh, Mary.
Hi, Mary, and welcome.
Welcome. My first time. I came across you on the internet.
Okay, well, like I said, welcome. Sit back and listen, and if you have questions, we'll get to you today.
Okay, right now, I'm knowing more. how to deal with it.
Okay, well, you can learn more here, but right now we're going to continue with the call. All right, next up, okay, would be, I think I put towers first and 5G second, but somehow I got a feeling they're married. Robert?
Yeah, well, yeah, the towers, you know, are carriers or, you know, if you will, broadcasters, if you will, of these various technological wavelengths and frequencies. And 5G means fifth generation. We've covered this before a little bit, and maybe Peter's done this as well. 5G isn't one thing, right? There's the millimeter wave technology that if you see, like, the lampposts in major cities that every 100 feet or so, you can see these things that are very, again, proximal-oriented. They don't have an ability to travel a large distance, but things around them, right near them, life forms are very significantly impacted, and it doesn't take long, versus, you know, fifth-generation technologies that might not be the same millimeter wave technology, for instance, from those towers that are just sending out signals to cell phones everywhere, et cetera. But regardless, again, it's about exposure and proximity. Distance, there's a fall off. This is why they have to keep putting towers up, because the further away you go, the signal is less strong, therefore less impactful in a negative sense. So, you know, you don't want to set up shop right next to one unless you know how definitively to use technology to shield yourself in such circumstances. But if Peter, if you want to add anything to the towers and the 5G beyond what I'm just referencing as an introduction concept.
Yeah, well, first of all, to circle way back, I got rid of my microwave over 7 years ago, just so that you know. The measurements that they use, as I understand it, are called microwatts per centimeter squared. And the Electrical Power Institute, back around 2010, measured a single Itron smart meter, which is what many of our homes and apartment dwellings have now, at 1 feet as 0.93. And I think extreme concerns should arrive around 0.1. So even our smart meters are well above. Our smartphones are very low, but I still believe that you should put it in, and I try to practice this as well, put it in airplane mode, keep modems as far away from your sleeping area and things like that. Pine needles, I looked into some research. There's. I went to four places, Robert. I went to bioinitiative.org, has a 4,000 studies. JustProveIt.net has over 1,100 studies. PowerWatch.org, UK, has over 1,600 studies. And EMFPortal.org has over 23,000 studies. And looked into them in terms of their conclusions about what your interoxidative stress and DNA damage, anxiety, memory loss, cardio myopathies that we're seeing post-COVID now, lower reaction times in children, involuntary contractions of muscles that are causing misalignment of spines in the jaw. All of these conclusions were come to by these over, 25,000 studies. And the Federal Communications Commission, in my discovery, was trying to regulate the amount of frequencies they consider to be acceptable. And what's interesting is that Canada, China and Russia are very, very low. Ours are 1,000 times higher than anyone else. So clearly we're not paying attention to these things. But, yeah, I would say that, you know, our laptops are not a good idea. You know, probably damage to sperm DNA from people sitting with their laptops. You know, our Alexas and our smart devices in our homes are, you know, it's not helping at in any rate. So that's how I would respond to that.
Well, and also to help us counteract the, you know, the ongoing exposure, in addition to taking what Peter said seriously and looking to distance yourself as much as possible, you know, the things we've talked about constantly here, the minerals that I recommend, like selenium and copper, you know, more importantly now as we learn how critical copper is in protecting our various systems, connective tissue, electrical systems, et cetera, of the body. You know, there are strategies that we can employ that will impact anybody that's suffering with anything related to Morgellons, but it's related to everything. And, you know, we have to take it, you know, let's say cognizance, invisibles, if you will, that are confounding some of the recoveries, and we go, well, we're doing all this, all these things, and we neglect like the microwave presence or the technologies. You mentioned the smart meters. If, you know, people put, they have these on their, sometimes they make it very difficult for you to have them removed, or they charge you extra for not having a smart meter. But, you know, shielding yourself from it, not being, you know, having things on the side of the home or at the area that, you know, whatever room is on the other side of it, you really got to protect yourself, because that's an ongoing invisible exposure that's very real and can degrade a lot of the good work that you do if you're unaware of it.
Yeah, extreme concern takes place. It's called, it's a German term called Brubiologik or something like that, where you should have your concern. That's at 0.1 microwatts per centimeter squared. And the Itron smart meters that they looked at, Robert, were 7.93 microwatts. If you have concern at 0.1, that's well over. A laptop Wi-Fi would be at 1.0, headaches, irritability, chest pain, indigestion. And then this, again, from all these studies, 4.0 changes in the hippocampus affecting memory and learning, 6.0 DNA damage, and again, 7.93 at 1 foot from a smart meter. So that's well beyond the damage that that we know is occurring according to all these studies. So we're not paying attention. Again, you know, China and Russia are, they and Poland, they set their standard at 10.0. Ours is 1,000 times higher than that. So clearly the agenda to roll out 5G and make money is taking precedence over the safety considerations that I think we should all be aware of and be practicing in that regard.
Yes. Go ahead, Mel.
All right. Well, any questions on this at all? Get them in now because we're going to move on. Going once. Questions about any of this? Okie dokie twice. All right, let me welcome. Is that Vanessa?
Yeah. Hi.
Oh, hi, and welcome. All right. So I would think next up, okay, would be the latest variants of COVID. And, Robert, is it the JN1?
Can you say that again, Mel?
The latest variant of COVID, is it JN1?
Oh, listen. Mel, I apologize. I mean, I gloss over on the latest variants because I think most of it is, can I say the word bullshit in terms of
well,
our...
Oh, yeah,
our,
well, if you said what you said about that other guy, you can say anything you want. I mean, you know.
Yeah. I'm just saying, listen, from the word go back, you know, 3-4 years ago, I pointed out the absurdity of utilizing polymerase chain reaction, PCR test to determine whether you have something or you don't have something. These are what we call psychological operations to give form and belief about a thing that is, you know, supposedly circulating and you will be coughed on or sneezed on and you will succumb to it. Now, when we talk about the 5G or different things like that, I think this is more real in terms of manifesting symptoms than one particular virus or a variation of a virus. So when they talk about, you know, it's the latest version of COVID, I just can't go there because so much of it has not been validated that it becomes, a meme, if you will, a belief. So and this is not to say, Mel, for instance, you didn't have symptoms and you came through them with flying colors because of what you do, but the belief that it is the thing they say it is, that's where I have the dispute. So we're dealing with symptoms that manifest in any one of us. Sometimes they're similar, sometimes they're wildly divergent, and we're trying to blame one thing for it when it's this, all that we're talking about, combined with any number of things. You know, what were we exposed to in terms of food, or what did they spray in the sky that day, or, you know, what kind of emotional disturbance were we feeling when we caught a news story that really impacted us, or did we have a personal, interpersonal relationship that broke down, any number of things that manifest that way. And yet they want to simplify it to say, oh, it's the latest circulating strain of what we call COVID. And so this for me is where I don't take issue with the symptoms that are real that people suffer from, but to point that as a cause, much less to then say we must have boosters, which we know better than that here. Of course, we'll get into flu shots later. But the idea here is to recognize that the energetic disturbance that happens, we can blame it outside of us, but it also is a big part of what we carry with us. Our belief system, our fears, or on the opposite side, the love that we're feeling the exercise that we're doing to keep us strong through all the toxicological burdens, much less negative energy type burdens that we're exposed to, even if we're unaware of them. So when I talk about the latest, greatest of whatever they're saying is going around, I look at the individual, I look at the immune system, I look at the terrain, I look at all of those exposures and say, all right, let's deal with the reality of what's manifesting symptomatically, and let's address that, not by suppression, but, you know, as a homeopath, I would match up the remedies that would meet those situations. And then we talk about so much of the deficiency syndrome of minerals like, again, copper, playing out in a myriad of symptoms that the mainstream media and the doctors will say, well, that's caused by XYZ virus, as opposed to the deficiencies we haven't fully, let's say, reversed, or temporarily we were off for a day or two or a week, or heck, you were stressed out for a couple of weeks, but that was a month ago. You forgot all about it, and now it's manifesting a month later, right? And we don't make those connections, and so we follow on with, oh, they said this is going around. Does that make sense?
Well, I mean, hey, I didn't have a name for what I had. Someone had mentioned that that's what they assumed that it was. All I know is that I was sicker than I've been in a long, long time, and I got better at least 50-60% in 3 to 4 days, and completely better in like 13 days. So who cares, okay? The idea is that if we utilize what we learn, okay, and we certainly have a lot of great people around us to teach us, and even with all my years of experience, I continue to learn on a daily basis. Yeah. So, you know, you're right. Who cares what I had? All I know is, for an old man, I'm awful strong because I beat it real quick.
Yeah, and maybe I'm just stubborn that I don't like to, you know, go along with the narratives because I'm just made that way. But I really say to them, you know, if you claim, and I'm not talking to you, Mel, but if someone out there says, this is what it is, and then they point to something like a PCR test or even, you know, the so-called COVID tests that exist that still don't have standards, I'm like, that, you know, you're just making stuff up now, and yet they have the mouthpiece, they have the authoritarian, you know, degrees or whatever it is, or the media is sanctioned it, so it's coming through. So I tend to, you know, my first inclination is to not believe it until I can prove otherwise, or they can prove that what they're saying is actually legitimate.
Well, I know the one thing that we all agreed on, okay, and I say all, you, me, and Peter, no jabs. Anything they created to fix this mess is worse than the mess they fixed.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Pete, anything you want to add?
I couldn't agree with Robert more. The difficulty for me comes when you have to discuss it. You know, you have to have a nomenclature. So, you know, the virome around us is the way we interact with our environment. Viruses are not our enemy. We wouldn't be around without them. I think Robert would agree with that. But the whole narrative that's going on is part of what was a Dr. Diamond that did a work, Robert, a number of years back called Behavioral Kinesiology, at which point we look at, you know, the epigenetic factors that are caused by our thoughts, our emotions, the people and circumstances we're around in our environment. And clearly, these godly men of science are aware of these types of ways to manipulate, dumb us down, and control the way we think and view things. So, you know, I'll use a term like being in one just as the nomenclature to speak with someone so we can have some perspective. But in terms of talking about it and the PCR testing, I couldn't agree with you more.
Yeah, again, with the narrative and the nomenclature, it's a difficult task. I mean, I'm on the air all of the time, and when these things come up, I, you know, hear half of my audience yelling at me, you used the wrong term, or you don't believe this, I'm like, and the other half saying the opposite. I'm like, listen, I don't care what you call it or what you believe it is. Let's talk about the reality of how it's manifesting in each individual, and let's help them where they are. And if we can find common factors, let's apply them across the board and help everybody, yes. But, you know, the idea is not to get too attached to, you know, the word, for instance, virus or the next strain, or, you know, all of these things are often used against us in a fear-based psychosis that is induced, you know, as they talk about the various ways that they know how to manipulate us and control us through psychological operations and propaganda. But it doesn't mean we have to be quiet because everything we say will ultimately, by someone, will be called wrong because you're not using the term correctly. On and on it goes. But I appreciate, you know, Mel and Peter, what you're doing in this group here is getting past some of the things that divide us, and let's just talk about the reality of how it's manifesting. And my cat agrees.
Well, the cat agrees, I'll tell you that much. All right, well, let me just put it this way, okay? Again, we've always agreed, you know, the whole thing's a hoax from day one. You know, the guy who brought it to us should be hung. And the government's trying to kill all the seniors. So, any questions before we move on to, and I have the answer for this next one, for sure. But any questions? Okay, who's I? Who's I?
Margaret, I forgot what I'm supposed to push to raise my hand, though.
Oh, you hit star 5. That's all right. No problem.
Okay, star 5. Okay, thank you, Mel. So my question is regarding, like, a COVID reversal protocol, the vaccine, whatever. My boss took it and is now having, it's either a TIA or neurological episodes where he passes out, very high blood pressure, and is interested in protocols. He wants to know of, like, a good, like, a package protocol, kind of like we buy at Logos. Not something he has to put together himself, something that's relatively easy to execute. He's not in the all-natural health space, but knows I am and kind of wants to see what's out there. Do you have any suggestions regarding that?
Well, you know, we talked about the homeopathic options to counteract some of the negative impact of the COVID injections, for instance, and the long COVID, post-COVID type syndromes. And in fact, you know, I'm working on interviewing a number of PhDs, MDs, and holistic professionals on their perspectives on what's going on and how to counteract it, not just from a narrative perspective, but actually, you know, how do we help the health that's, you know, manifested or the lack of health that's manifested. One of the folks we've mentioned here, I think, before, Dr. Brian Artis, he's interestingly identified the use of nicotine, which was long and wrongly thought of to be the addicting part of the tobacco plant in cigarettes, when it turns out the hundreds of chemicals that they add to the tobacco plant after it's harvested and made into a cigarette are actually the addictive components, and that we have nicotinic receptors all over the body and all the cells. And that when utilizing, you know, supplementation with either the nicotine patch or the gum, that he's able to fulfill those receptors and push out some of the things that are creating all of the ill health, including, as he argues, the synthetic peptides of snake venoms or various venoms. And this is you know, something that could be a simple thing for someone who's not completely holistic yet, like you're mentioning, to try or experiment with the nicotine patch or the nicotine gum, or connect with Brian Artis. I'll be interviewing him again on that, but it's quite an innovative approach. But suffice it to say, we were lied to about nicotine. Nicotine is in a lot of things, including, you know, foods like eggplant, which is the second to the tobacco plant in terms of nicotine content. And I don't know anybody that's addicted to eggplant. Has anybody ever found an eggplant addiction? So I think, again, it's clear that nicotine is not the addiction component, and it is very necessary and helpful. In fact, we wouldn't have nicotinic receptors all over the body if it weren't. So I would say that comes to mind as an immediate, simple thing to do, other than the homeopathic options that, you know, I've said, you know, you want to send an email to my producer, Super Don, and say, jab reverse in the headline, then I will forward it on to my good buddy, who's also a homeopath and naturopath, to get you connected to get the formulations.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. And it's so funny because I had this conversation with him yesterday about nicotine and how at low doses and, you know, just by itself, it's like has a lot of healing effects. And for somebody who was addicted to cigarettes for many years, he wasn't having any of it. So I will email you for the homeopathic answer. Thank you so much.
Yes, you're welcome.
Hey, Mel, can I make a comment here real quick?
Yeah.
Yeah, Robert, you're just circling me back to the show that I saw you on. It was with Dr. Brian Artis, and you folks were discussing the alpha-7 nicotinamide receptors.
and the low dose use of nicotine gum and nicotine patches. And you folks had discussed an Italian study where they had identified 16 different Kano and snake types of venoms that were discovered, and how these nicotinic alpha 7 receptors were actually a pathway that we have that can be very therapeutic. I'll celebrate 12 years smoke free this April after 42 years of smoking. But way back in the day, Robert, when I had Morgellons, I came to discover that in the Dravidian part of southern India, they were using nicotine and tobacco for skin issues. So I can remember when I had the sores on my hand, I would actually take the juice from tobacco and put it on my hands. It was very helpful. So again, the smoking damage comes from the hot tar and burning sensations to the villi and the lungs. But these nicotinic receptors, we actually have a system for it. And that was a part of what I found fascinating, what you and Dr. Artis were bringing forth on that particular show.
Yeah, brilliant. Thank you for bringing that back up. Yes.
All right. Anything else?
Can you spell the last name of Dr. Brian? I can't quite understand what.
Artis. A-R-D-I-S. Artis.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Aren't you glad you came, Margaret?
You're so right.
All right. Now we go on to a subject that I can talk about. The new flu shot. Well, let me tell you, when I heard about the new flu shot, stop laughing. I couldn't stop laughing. I mean, I thought, how crazy, how insane are they all going to get here? The flu has been around as long as man, but I don't remember a lot of people ever dying from the flu. So now why are we creating a flu shot? Uh-oh, that ain't good. They're not killing us fast enough. They got something new now. I turn it over to you, Robert. Those are my thoughts.
Well, yeah, there is no safe flu shot. There's no efficacious flu shot. The idea that the flu is even caused by one thing, a virus, is also arguable, and I would argue laughable too, because if we go back to the so-called influenza pandemic of 1918 in the early 20th century, it followed on the time of abject poverty, people living in squalor, and still sanitation, sewage hygiene was not good at the time of World War I. And there were also experimental vaccination campaigns going on. There was the advent of new so-called wonder drugs like aspirin in the first part of the 20th century, with organic chemistry coming out of Germany, and the patent petrochemicals that were emerging, post particularly 1910 with the Flexner Report, altering medical school curricula to only teach doctors how to poison people for profit. And so you had a lot of these things converging at the time post-World War I that manifested as another, let's say, pandemic that they called an influenza or a flu. In addition, there were also changes in terms of wired technologies, not so much wireless, although there was wireless, in terms of radar things emerging at that point. And if you read The Invisible Rainbow by, what's the guy's name that wrote that book? Arthur Furstenberg, you'll see that their corresponding pandemic or epidemic around the time of the electrification, the human electrification of the planet via various grids like telegraph wires to go to then the wireless. So there were a lot of factors converging on that. And then, 10, 15, 20 years later or so after that event, they dug up a dead man in Alaska who apparently died at the time of the influenza pandemic. And then they finally had something called electron microscopes at that point in history in the 20th century. And they investigated, whatever was in this guy who was frozen to death, ultimately at that time. And they say they isolated the virus that caused all of the death in 1918-19, which if you step back from that, you've got to call, here I want to cuss again, but I'll just say, abject absurdity to the claim that can't be validated nor invalidated other than if you know how ridiculous that claim was. And from that moment forward, virology became the thing because they had microscopes that could see debris, although not in a living sample because you have to put it in a vacuum to analyze it under electron microscopy, that they would claim that they found the cause of that or any disease. And they never actually find these things other than if they, you know, pull out bodily fluids and then mix it in a growth medium with all kinds of nasty chemicals, centrifuge it out, do all kinds of things over the course of a day or a week or weeks, and then come back and look at it and say, aha, we found the cause of your problem. Never could they just, you know, pull it from your blood and say, here it is. They have to do all these kind of chemical gymnastics for, you know, a time period that you go, that's what you're saying killed these people or made me sick? Why couldn't you find just from pulling it right out of my body and say, there it is? But again, this is a scam. This is a game that's being played upon all of us to promote the remedy or prevention, which is much worse than whatever it is that manifested. Just like Mel had indicated during COVID, it wasn't the so-called lab leak and whatever that was the danger. It was what they did in response to it by bringing out dangerous injections of the mRNA technology variety, much less treatments in hospitals that were killing patients like remdesivir and ventilators, and denying treatment, you know, by things that are even benign by medical drug standards like ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine. But I argue that we have things in homeopathy and herbal and minerals like copper and selenium that could have done that as well or better than even those drugs. So it's a long answer to a short question there, Mel. And either if you have anything, or Mel, you want to add anything to that?
No, I mean, you know, I like you said, I couldn't stop laughing. I mean, you know, when are we going to stop believing what we're told?
Yeah.
You know, don't we know that these people do not have our best interest at heart? Okay, I mean, be thy own physician. You, I, and Peter, we practice that. We don't just believe it. And we'd like to get more people to try to practice that, because then we're going to have more people sticking around.
Yeah, and you know, Robert, what you mentioned that I think is really compelling is you mentioned the Flexer report. I think people need to circle back and investigate the nature of that report, the Flexer report, and how it brought us into the pharmaceutical environment that we're in right now, which behind cancer and heart disease is the third leading prescription misdiagnosis or misprescription is the third leading cause of death in this country right now, followed by fourth leading cause of unnecessary operations. But that Flexer report, folks, if you look into that, you'll understand where Robert is coming from, which set the stage for the pharmaceutical allopathic environment that we're in right now, which treats and suppresses symptoms rather than, you know, from a functional perspective, distilling things down to the underlying cause and looking to the terrain, like Mel teaches and John at Logos teaches and what we practice here, Robert, to you know, the split at the 1900s between germ theory, Pasteur, and Bernard, who, of course, was famous for his statement that terrain is all, and even Pasteur in his deathbed recanted that Bernard was right, the terrain is all. So, you know, Morgellons that we deal with here, Robert, and a lot of the things that we're talking about with these mystery diseases, they're based upon environmental toxicity, basically, but we have to look to these issues are, look at them as a thing, and then they want to take a pharmaceutical to treat the thing. It's actually a state that I believe if we reverse, which is why Mel's protocol works so well, and what you teach in homeopathic ideology works so well as well, because we look to the terrain, and once you get the terrain back in balance, you get endocrine and adrenal systems online, you increase cellular energy potential at the mitochondrial level and upregulate thyroid function. We just thrive, and disease doesn't stand a chance. So, again, you know, I would direct people, Mel, to look into the Flexer report. She have the truth about how that brought us into the pharmaceutical environment that we're in now, which is clearly not the way to treat disease.
Exactly.
All right. Questions. Are there any questions? Oh, you got to be kidding me.
Them all, Mel.
Huh?
We've answered all the questions. There's nothing left to ask.
Well, I don't know about that. But I'm I'm pretty surprised at this point in time. Okay, well, then, if there are no questions, and before we end, there'll be some. All right, so Peter, what would you like to say in summation here?
Well, first thing I'd like to do is thank Robert for work he's been doing for, goodness, a couple decades now. His radio broadcast will keep people really in touch with things that are relevant and you know, in the midst of the misinformation, disinformation that is so prevalent in the internet environment right now, the predatory nature of it, the commerce that's there, the vitriol on platforms. You're much better off to take that out of play and listen to Robert's broadcasts, read on Mel's forum some of the experiences. You know, I try to bring forth truth, Robert, as well. You know, take a look at focusing on the cure and try to understand terrain theory, you know, as John teaches and Robert so eloquently, you know, consistently bring guests on his program that continue to just reiterate this the narrative that is truth, which is, you know, that the environmental toxicity right now is beyond our wildest imagination. It's the only way back from this, and we are, as far as the microwave conclusion I would draw for folks, we are creatures of resonance and frequency. So, you know, we have to look to the Bible, Ephesians 2, the power of the air, which is the enemy, our adversary, the devil, and how he's using frequencies and things against us. And some of the protection that comes from being calm, getting rest and exercise and focusing on the truth will help us resonate and spirit relationship with Christ and service as a way to mitigate through disease and illness is really a way to create our own defense system internally, in my humble opinion, where we can actually control the nature of frequencies in our own body. And in many ways, that's, I would think, Robert, would be a naturopathic way or homeopathic way to actually treat without devices. Would just be control our environment, control our emotions, that old equation of, you know, sleep, rest, stress management, all the things that you and Mel teach and that I advocate for, really is the way to navigate through this toxic, unprecedented environment that we're all walking in. That would be my closing thoughts for you guys.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Peter. And it goes without saying, you know. Well, let's let Robert go next. Robert, you go ahead. Your closing thoughts?
Well, Peter, very eloquent and accurate, everything you said there. I appreciate that so very much. And I think, you know, the exposure, you know, what we're exposed to, there's a lot that we can't control for, you know, in the environment, but there's a lot we can. And you know, one of my messages has been, and I think this is a you know, maybe an edict from our Creator, reduce the exposure on those things that are denigrating to your spirit, that damage your body, the you know, temple you're given while you're here, that which you genuinely have control over. That which you don't, turn over to God, and God will help care for you. But we can't do that irresponsibly to say, well, I'll just turn it all over to God and continue to expose myself to these things that are destructive of God's creation. So we do have a lot of responsibility that we are unfortunately taught that we shouldn't want, or we should avoid the responsibility. Is that when we embrace the responsibility and take it every day, we actually end up so empowered and we move so far from that victim state of consciousness that you really feel good despite all of the things that we can point to that are not great around us. And then you can impact others positively just by your very spirit. Your presence will uplift them. They may or may not overtly ask you questions about it, but just know that silently and quietly you're helping others just by being a conduit for that love that created us all, and not by living in fear or contributing to that fear. Even though we can acknowledge things that are scary, I don't mean to pretend everything is just perfect out there. There's the reason for it all, and I think it's to drive us back to the heart of creation, to our Creator. And that is, again, that love that is overwhelming all of the fear and all of the fear mongering.
Amen. Well said, brother.
All right. Well, my closing thoughts are, I'm blessed that you come around 3 and 4 times a year. And even though we cover similar subjects multiple times, it is my true belief that repetition is part of restoration. And every time you come around, there's at least a couple of dozen first time is never heard you before here. So God bless you, and thank you for being willing to help. And you and Peter, welcome upgrades to help, really. And thank you so very, very much.
Thanks, Mel. Thanks, Peter. Thanks, everybody.
Always great to be in your presence, Robert. God bless you, brother.
Wait. Let's not run away. We got a question from, I believe that is Jen. Is that you, Jen? Put your hand up.
It is. Hello, it's me. Great call, guys. Good information. So good. And Mel, I was asked to remind you of fundraising.
Oh, yeah. Tomorrow, okay, on prayer and fellowship, Jen has donated to the foundation. Do you know the names of the products, Jen, and what they are?
I don't know of them specifically offhand, but there's a couple of logos.
Okay, so you sent me an email, right?
Yeah, I put it all in the email, yeah.
All right, so let's see if I cannot find this email.
Okay.
Which is hit and miss with me, which I know you know already. Okay, well, I have too many folders, so there's like four or five different places it could possibly be. But it isn't in the first two places. But let me just say that
I found there are, it.
Good. Go ahead and read off what's in this package.
Okay, there's two unopened bottles, which is two sets of the WPS, one Logos Complete Thymic Formula, three Logos Q10, one Logos Leaf Harmony, and two Human Memory and Focus bags.
Right. Now that you've read them all, now, of course, I know where I put it. I put it in conference calls and questions folder. There it is. All right, folks, all these things are going to be raffled tomorrow. One winner with the best bid, okay? And we'll add $10 for Jen to pay for the shipping. The money will go to the He Cures All Foundation. And I can't thank you enough, Jen, for doing this. And think about it. I mean, you know, if you add it all up, I'm sure it comes to more than what the final bid is going to be. And we can all use stuff that we can get at a discount. So come to prayer and fellowship, make a bid, and see if you can win tomorrow. Pete, thanks very much again. Robert, I could never thank you enough, my friend. Everybody on the count of three, let's say thank you, Robert and Peter. One, two, three. Thank you, Robert and Peter.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Always an honor.
Thanks.
All right, folks. I don't know who the guest is going to be, but I'm going to try to grab one of the new girls who said they're all better in this week's post. See if we can't get one of them up here. We're back again tomorrow, prayer and fellowship. Okay, and we will have the drawing for those meds or the raffle for those meds. Everybody have a safe day, a good day, and a positive day. And Robert and Pete, thank you again so very much. Everybody, bye-bye for now. We'll see you again tomorrow.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye now.